God bless you. Let's continue our Bible study. The study of the book of Daniel. Today we are looking at Daniel chapter 4. We have finished chapter 1, chapter 2. When we got to chapter 3, it took us a little away. It was still part of chapter 3, where we had to look at the foolish and the wise virgins. So we come back again as we continue chapter 4. And I will do the reading. So please. Amen. Can we continue Daniel chapter 4? I'm reading from verse 1. It's a Bible study. It's a Bible study, so we may read a few other scriptures to let us know what we are supposed to learn from these stories. Remember, they are not there for entertainment. Two things we learn from the study of scriptures, the study of these stories. Number one, Apostle Paul told us that all these stories in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 11, this is how Apostle Paul put it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11 and verse 12, this is what Apostle Paul told us after he narrated what the Israelites went through in the wilderness journey from Egypt to the promised land. What Israel went through from Egypt to the promised land is the story of every believer from the day you got converted, you give your life to Christ, till we go in the rapture. And so in verse 11 he said, now all these things happened unto them for examples. He said, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. That is what every story we see in the Bible, they are there for example to us, so that we know how to walk our Christian life, to know how to live our lives here as Christians. And in verse 12, he concluded it by saying, wherefore, let him that thinketh his standard take heed, lest he fall. That is what we see when we study every story in the Bible. That is what we are supposed to learn. Another thing we learn there is it gives us a clearer picture of grace, of the church. For the Old Testament, the Bible says it's a shadow. It's shadowing grace. It's shadowing the New Testament, and the New Testament is the very image of that shadow we see. So when you read the Old Testament stories, you must see Christ and the church in one way or the other in that story. If not, you have not yet studied it. It helps us know where we stand. That's what Bible study is all about. That's what we're trying to do even now. So let's see what we can learn in the book of Daniel chapter 4 now. I read from verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, that means it's Nebuchadnezzar now saying this by himself. Now he's writing this. Please take note, it is a Bible study. We are studying them verse by verse, so that we get the picture. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. So there is something that the whole earth, whether you are a believer or unbeliever, you should know. And Nebuchadnezzar has it to share with the whole world. So what is it he has to share with the whole world? He said in verse 2, he said, I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God has wrought towards me. There is the sign and the wonders. Something happened to him that the creator of the heaven and the earth did. And he called it a sign and a wonder. What is a sign? A sign points you your direction. A sign shows you the way to go. Amen. And a wonder shows you that things that you think are impossible are possible with God. That's why we call them mystery. That's what we call them, miracle or a wonder. Then he was considering verse 3. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Then he started his story. This is his testimony. From verse 4, this is his testimony. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. When he said I was at rest, remember that Nebuchadnezzar was the ruling empire of the world at that time. He had conquered and made so much achievement, and now he was at rest. It means no more battle. He has achieved all he wants to achieve. That is what that verse is trying to make us understand. He said, and he was flourishing. He said, I was flourishing in my palace. He was relaxed. Amen. And while he was in that estate, verse 5, I saw a dream which made me afraid. And the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. He saw something. Therefore, made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told them, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the Holy Ghost. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the Holy Ghost is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Those were the visions of my head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelled in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud. Please take note of verse 13, because I want to emphasize something there. Hallelujah. Take note of verse 13. He spoke about watcher and holy one. There was a watcher and an holy one that came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said to us, the watcher and the holy one that came down. This was what he said. Hew down the tree and cut off his branches. Shake off his leaves and scatter his fruits. Let the beast get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his root in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let the beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. Seven times is years, 7 years. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now, thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation. But thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. The whole of chapter 4 is testimonial. His testimony is telling us so. Everything happened, and when he came to his senses, that is when he began to tell this story. It don't happen already. Before he's telling the story, I want you to have that in the back of your mind. Now verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. You know why he was troubled? Daniel immediately knew the interpretation of that dream. And Daniel was saying, I will tell this man that has power to cut off my head now. And yet he must tell the truth. Hey. I read it again. My Lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and interpretation thereof to thy enemies. That is one way of saying, Kai. Let this thing not happen to you, let it happen to your enemies. Verse 20. He enters spirit. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation, it is thou, O King. Hi. It is thou, O King, that are grown and become strong. For thy greatness is grown and reached unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof on the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till 7 times pass over. This is the interpretation, O King, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my Lord the King, that They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. And they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. And seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that, thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is the story. But he added something in verse 27. Daniel added something there. Wherefore, O king, he said, this is his advice now. Let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. This is my advice to you. And break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Because the man, a king, was a merciless person. It may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Praise the Lord. So that is the story. Amen. First and foremost, there was judgment passed upon him. There was judgment passed upon him. Why? Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He had sat down in another scripture. Nebuchadnezzar looked at the whole earth. Amen. We shall come to it later. He had a proud heart. He had a proud spirit. Because remember, he was not a Jew. So he was not serving the God of Israel. And the God of Israel is the only true God. All other gods, they are works of demons and men. No other God exists on the earth than the God of Israel. And me, Moses Alu, the God of Israel is my God. I don't know about you. I don't know about you. I don't know how many people can say it confidently. Oh. Amen. And if the God of Israel is your God, and he is the God of all gods, and he has power to do this until he can change even a human being to an animal, for he is the creator. Hallelujah. Why will I come to this God and still have my eye in any idol again? Amen. Why will I not trust him for every aspect of my life when I know the wonders he can do? But as far as this story is concerned, God is about to show the whole world that it is not Nebuchadnezzar that had the power of his own to conquer everybody and subject the whole earth to him, that he is the one that made it possible for him. And you must recognize him, or he will remove you. Praise the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar saw that dream. He knew it was him. Because when he was talking about that tree, the angel changed from calling the tree it. He changed the language to him. Let him. The language changed from it to him. And if we know, a tree is not addressed as a him. If he say it, then you can say, so the angel gave him the revelation in such a way that he will know that he is the one. Hallelujah. He will know that he is the one. And watch it. I say, note verse 13. That there is the watchers. So that lets me know that any position of authority that you have is given to you by God. Amen. I'm saying something, though, that will help us. We're studying the book of Daniel. What are we learning from there? Any position of authority you have is given to you by God. Until the least authority that we know, that is even pronounced by God himself, it includes the authority given to a man over his wife. It's authority. Including the position given to you as a minister to watch over God's children as a pastor. Including the temporal offices. I'm looking at political offices. Including the king of your village. Including, how do I put it? Including your governor. Don't tell me he rigged, that's why he got there. Even the ability to rig and get there was given from above. I have considered this long ago. Very long ago. And when Christians begin, or rather, let me not call Christians, it's politicians. Politicians who claim that they are Christians because they go to church, they now want to come among us and then, you know, come and do their politics among us and tell us, no, Christian must be there. Christian must be there. Christian must be there. Now, if these scriptures we are reading is correct, then watch it. Hallelujah. Nobody can be the president of Nigeria unless God places him there. You don't understand what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Former President Jonathan, former President Obasanjo, they were not there because they were Christians. They were president of Nigeria not because they were Christians. They were president of Nigeria because God found reason to place them there at the appropriate time. And when it is over, he removed him and put Buhari there. Not because Jonathan had committed sin and Buhari is more righteous. No. Two reasons. One, it is for his pleasure. Number two, the people will always get the type of leader they deserve. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. If the people put God aside, God will also give them a godless man. If the people are oppressed too much, oh, he will bring a deliverer. Always take note that every power, Romans chapter 13, can we read it? We are coming back to Daniel. Was looking at what we are learning from these scriptures. Hallelujah. Yes. What does it say? Verse 1. It said, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Then he added, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of who? Of God. If you believe this Bible, then stop abusing your leaders. If you believe this scripture, what you should do is, if they are bad, complain to He, the God that placed them there. If you disobey them, they will deal with you. And don't say you're a human rights fighter. You will suffer for nothing. And when you fight them, you are fighting He who placed them there. Verse 2, confirm it. Whosoever therefore resisted the power, what is he doing? You are resisting the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves what? Damnation. Amen. So, Nebuchadnezzar was a servant of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What? I said we should note that in verse 27, although verse 27 of Daniel chapter 4, you will notice that after Daniel saw what happened, he now said, take my counsel and repent. And begin to change your way of living your life. Live a life pleasing before God. And show mercy to the poor. The way you are handling, you are too hard, you are too rough. Now that lets me know that it simply means that, yes, the Bible says God does not change His mind. I am the Lord, I change it not. The truth is this. Concerning His word, concerning His principles, He will not change. But you don't understand that one of His principles is that if you show repentance, He forgives. That principle also doesn't change. Therefore, anytime God shows you your estate and shows you that you will end roughly, take note, it doesn't just wake up and strike immediately. There will be a time lapse. That time is to see the effect of that warning to you. And according to this story, he still waited another 1 month. If Nebuchadnezzar may change. If Nebuchadnezzar had changed, that judgment would not have come upon him. So what are we learning from that point? Every true child of God, always notice, before God's judgment comes upon, there is always a warning. That useless life you are living, God will be warning you. God will be warning you. This thing you are doing, see how you will end up. See how you will end up. Then He will wait and see and give you opportunity to change. That's always the problem with Christianity. Let's see what Peter spoke concerning that. Even before Peter, let's look at Romans chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 4. There is a way he put it. Apostle Paul, speaking about God's judgment. Verse 4, then he said, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long suffering? This is the attribute of God. His goodness, His forbearance, His long suffering. Not knowing that He does all this, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Don't you know that? His patience with you is expecting you to repent. If you go to 2 Peter chapter 3 also, and verse 9. He said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us all, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When a sinner goes to hell, God is not happy over it. When a child of God is suffering, God is not happy over it. When a sinner dies in the instead of his sin, God is not happy over it. He rejoices to see repentance. That is why I said, God is not interested in your past. He's always looking at your estate now. Once you can repent, whatever judgment, whatever the evil he God has pronounced over you, he will change his mind. He did it for Ahab. When the prophecy of Ahab's destruction came by the prophet, the Bible says he quaked. Fear came upon him. He didn't say, get out. You know. Amen. He quaked, and immediately God told the prophet, go back again. You see his posture? Okay, go and tell him. Amen. It will not happen in his own time. Offense that Ahab committed because of his estate. He said, but because it is determined, praise the Lord, that it will come to pass. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Anytime I meditate on that incident with Ahab, I said, why did he pass that course to his children? Foreknowledge. While he will repent, his children will not repent. But you, amen. So I also believe with the whole of my heart that, amen, that the curse that has been following your family, it can bypass you if you have a relationship with God. Because something happened that brought it on that family. And you can pull yourself out by repentance. Because sometimes the wicked trait of your forefathers are still in you, even as you are sitting in the church. Check very well. The wicked traits of your forefathers, they are still in you. They were murderers. They were killing innocent people. What did the Bible say? Who is a murderer? He said, if you hate your brother for no cause in your heart, you're already a murderer. So the cause that follows the family because of murdering innocent people, it will follow you. It will follow you, even though you are inside church. I'm saying something so that the wise will hear and repent. Go and do deliverance, dry fasting. It cannot go. It's a principle. It's a law. Hallelujah. But Nebuchadnezzar did not repent. He didn't repent. Habakkuk chapter 2. What does it say? Habakkuk chapter 2. Verse 2, 3 and 4. Amen. Habakkuk. And the Lord, catch this, because we quote this scripture very, very often, especially with the ministers. And it says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. I read it again, verse 2 again. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain there is a revelation of destruction that is coming upon Israel. There is a vision that prophet Habakkuk saw. And the Lord said, write it down. We always speak about prophecy or blessing. Write it down. But that is not the meaning, the primary meaning of that scripture. Let's read it again. Catch it very well. Catch it very well. Write the vision and make it plain, make it visible for everybody upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Verse 3. For the vision you saw is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, he shall speak and not lie. Do it tarry. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Verse 4. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Why will the vision tarry? It is tarrying so that it will give time to the reader that will see it to run for safety. Because it will surely come to pass. The only person that will escape is he that will read it and run. You will run to safety. And to run to safety is a posture of repentance. Understand that verse very well. We quote it to say the prophecy that prophet Joseph gave you, though it tarry, it shall come to pass. That is not the primary meaning of that scripture. When God gives his judgment, there will be a time lag. There's a time. He will always give room. And if you can repent. And that is why judgment has not yet come. That is why he was speaking in 2 Timothy, 2 Peter chapter 3, where we read verse 9. And when he came to verse 10, he said, for the day of the Lord cometh like a thief in the night. When you are not expecting it, that is when it will happen. But don't think that he has forgotten. But he's long suffering, waiting for people that will read it to run. For sure, even if it tarries, it will surely come to pass. It will speak for itself. It will come to pass. God's judgment that has been pronounced over this earth shall come to pass. And the Lord is waiting for people, his people, to read it on the table. He has put it in the book. Everybody is reading. Everybody is seeing what is coming upon this world, giving us time to repent. Nebuchadnezzar did not repent. Let's go to verse 28. Daniel chapter 4. This is his end now. According to his testimony. Daniel chapter 4, verse 28. It says, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. You see, at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. After he saw that revelation, God still gave him 12 months period. 12 months to repent. He said he was still going, moving, you know, with all the pride he had. Verse 30. The king spake and said, see where his trouble came. It's not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty. Oh, I will read that verse 30 again. Underline it very well in your Bible. A man was boasting of his achievement. It's not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by my might, by the might of my power, and for the honor of my majesty. God said, this one is too much. Instead of repenting, see what he's doing. Verse 31. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. And 7 years, seven times, shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bear's claws. It means he became an animal. A king became an animal. Why was God doing it? That is the sign. Why was God doing it? He says, until thou know that the Most High, in verse 32, ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. That is, you are not by your power that you got this. It is God that gave the kingdom to you. And you don't want to recognize that God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All powers are ordained of God, because he's the earth's landlord. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. And they that dwell in it, they are of the Lord. Whether they are serpent seeds, or they are children of Seth. Whatever, whoever you are that live on earth today, there is a God. And always a God that is responsible for you. And because it is God that has placed you in the position that you are in, there is another department in heaven called the watchers. What are they watching? They are watching what you are doing with the power that God has given you. Amen. And they are watching your sleep. They are watching your going out. They are watching your judgment. They are watching your favoritism. They are watching your nepotism. They are watching your tribalism. They are watching whatever you are doing. They are watching your wickedness. They are watching how you are using your power. They are watching. Amen. Praise the Lord. And when they report to the Holy One what is going on, then the Holy One who placed you there will pass his decree to let you know he placed you there. James chapter 4 verse 6. Let's be reading these scriptures, because it's a Bible study.